Believe it or not, there was a time in my life where I was young and very stupid. And so they admitted me to college up at Widener University. I think you just need to have a face and a check to get in. That was their requirement. You know, it was not Harvard. Come on. So I did not distinguish myself academically or on the football field, but I had a good time. And so I learned a lot. But one thing I did learn, that there were Jewish people in the world. You see, I went to Elkton High School, right? How many Jewish people did we have? We have any, you know, Levi Falkowitz, he wasn't there, right? You know, there was no Witzes. So we grew up in Cecil County, and we didn't have, you know, much of a diversity. And so when we get to Widener University, it's this melting pot, and it's a neat thing. And the guy across the hall is Jewish, Glenn Sharon. I'm like, What is that? And I played football with Ed Steinmetz, you know. So you're like, what do these people believe in? Because I've heard the story about Jesus, but we didn't talk about Jewish people. I didn't understand Jewish history because no one taught it to me. And then I thought it wasn't important. Jesus comes and that's all that matters, right? But I learned there's a history. Why did Jesus come? Who was he? And all these things. And so with our Jewish friend, you know, we learned so much. As we got older, and I finally decided to crack open the Bible myself and read it for myself, Joey. You know, I'm not taking what anyone else says. Read it for yourself. And then when you watch the Ten Commandments, you go, he got it right. He actually did right. I was watching the cartoon one, Prince of Egypt, about Moses, one of them DreamWorks things. And God said, I am who I am. And I said, he never said that. God wouldn't say, that's so stupid. Open the Bible. Guess what God says? I am who I am. Read it for yourself. Read it. Got to read your Bibles. Do you hear me? Read your Bibles. Read your Bible. Crack that spine, Jared. Is it fresh and crinkly? Is it stiff? Crack it open. You know, have some tears on it. Pour some coffee on it. Read what the Bible says. So with these, there was something to learn from these Jewish people. That there's a big story here. And so as you learn, you sit in front of Jim Jones for 18 years, and he teaches you about this Old Testament. And you're like, we don't want to hear these stories, right? But here's a story. How did we get here? How did we get to today where someone had to die for us? The stone was rolled away. We call it the resurrection. We call it Easter. We have a good celebration, but what's it all about? I got 10 minutes, and I think we can do it. So Genesis 3, it's the fall, and there we are. The serpent was more crafty than all the wild animals. I am going to the hospital today, Fran. You can take me. I'll sit. Bill got room. My wife's like, don't do it. The serpent was more crafty than all the other animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? The woman said, the serpent said, we can eat from any of the trees in the garden. But did God say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden? God did say that. You must not touch it or you will die. And the serpent says, you won't. Go ahead and do it. It looks good, doesn't it? It's fresh. It's hanging there. For God knows that when you eat it, says the serpent, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You'll know good and evil. And we know what happens. She took a bite. She gave it to his husband. It looks good. He took a bite. We have sinned. We are falling out. We are not in God's presence. God would come to these people. They were walking around, right, without clothes on. They didn't know they were naked, right? And they're walking in, and God would come in the cool of the day. Unlike the woman a couple weeks ago, she came in the heat of the day because of her shame. But God walks with us when it's cool. We have this personal time face to face. We can see him, but then we sin. And he says, you cannot be in my presence. How are we going to get back into his presence? What can we bring him? Cain and Abel bring him gifts, right? One brings something from the field. Something brings something from the slaughter. And God chooses one. So we have to sacrifice. We have to bring him something, but it's never good enough, is it? So what do we do? What do we do? The world's so bad, God has to wipe it out. Boy, we're only on Genesis 4 right now. We got 9 more minutes to finish this up. But then he calls one man, and his name is Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. He's 80 years old. He's been around. His wife is 70. You're going to have so many kids, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be incredible. You trust me. He sort of does. He goes where he says. But here we see a story where they're running out of food, Abraham and Sarah, and he's got 300 men who work for him, plus all the women and children. He's got a huge village. He's got all these people to feed. It's all responsible to him. and there's a famine. There's nothing to eat. So what do? He panics. Where do you go? To where there's plentiful. You go to the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt is run by a man named Pharaoh. And what does he wear on his helmet, on his crest, on his crown? The snake. It's the land of the snake. When you go down to Egypt, you're going into death. You're not trusting God anymore. When you go to Egypt, you don't trust him. You're going to where there's food. You're going to live. When you go to the land of death, you go there to live, but you can't stay there. But they stay a little too long, don't they? So Abraham there, you know, trouble happens. Pharaoh takes his wife, but God protects them, gives Sarah back to Abraham, and they go back to the promised land, the land of their inheritance. We see some things. So God's telling us the story. When you go to Egypt, you got to leave. You can't stay too long. It may be safe for a little bit, but you can't stay long in Egypt. You got to come out. We see some recurring themes, too, besides going into death. But we see this time where Abraham's a warrior. He has to go fight some people. And we love this story in our Bible study because we go, this is the craziest thing. Nobody told us this. Abraham, his nephew Lot is taken hostage, and he's taken away, so Abraham goes to save him, and he does, and he's beaten back the kings of the north, and so he comes back through a town called Salem, which becomes Jerusalem later, and there's a priest there, there's a king, his name is Melchizedek, which means the king of righteousness. He's the prince of Salem, which means the prince of peace. You see something? The Prince of Peace, the King of Righteousness, in the place called Jerusalem, and he comes out after the victory. And what does he bring them? Bread and wine. Gonna happen again, right? So when you see bread and wine later on in the Bible, it's not a surprise. He brings bread and wine, and then he offers Abraham a blessing. And Abraham gives him a tenth. Sound familiar? Blessings, tenth. Right, Reuben? We're going to connect the dots here. They're all going to come together. Five more minutes. Not going to happen. Well, that's that story. Okay, so now Abraham has a son named Isaac, and Isaac has two sons. One's named Esau, and one named Jacob, but God does not favor the firstborn as he's supposed to. God makes his own rules, doesn't he? He favors the secondborn, and his name is Jacob. Jacob goes up and marries once, twice, two more times, right? So four is a magic number is what the Bible's saying, right? God, no, he does not affirm it, but Jacob has four wives, and then they have how many sons? 12 sons. But then a famine happens. So where do you go? You go to Egypt. You got to go to the land of death. And so they go. They leave one boy behind. But I'm ahead of myself. Sorry. But first, Joseph has his mother's named Rachel. And Rachel has two children. Joseph and then has a son named Benjamin. They are traveling to Bethlehem. Heard that one before? That comes up again, right? Remember that story? He goes to Bethlehem, but she dies on the way. And as she's giving birth to the son, she wants to call him Ben-Ami. He is the son of my struggle. But Jacob says, no, I will call him Benjamin. You ready for it? The son of my right hand. Ooh, girls, right? We getting somewhere? More dots to connect. Here he's given us something we've heard of, the son of my right hand. And so he says, these two boys are his favorite because he liked his one wife more than all the others. Isn't this a crazy situation? Family, can you believe families were dysfunctional at one time? Almost as crazy as them Herms are today, right? We need our own little book in the Bible, the book of Herm. Do not do what they do. So here's Joseph and he's beloved by God, and Jacob, his father, loves him so much, he gives him that coat of many colors. You know the story. Donny Osmond sang it. The dream song. How's it go? I can get it in 1 second. You don't remember? We're supposed to remember. Bert would know. Where'd Bert go? He's hiding from me. He knows. Is he upstairs? What's that? He went to Baldwin. Oh, he went to Baldwin? What do they got going on down there? They got food? I'll do the joke, Steve. Quick, so these brothers, They see that one of the sons is favored, the coat of many colors, and that he's in charge of the other ones. He's got to rat them out to see what they're doing. They don't like this one bit. Let's get rid of them. Let's kill them. Let's send them off. Reuben doesn't want to do it. Reuben does one thing right for a change, right? But before that, he went to the wrong tent. He went to his father's tent while the father's out of town. So he is the firstborn, but he loses all that. But don't worry. So there's Joseph. And he's got the coat of many colors, and he's sold into slavery for 20 shekels. We've seen this before. Someone is sold for a few shekels, about $5,000. They sell their brother into slavery. They tell the father, Jacob, that their son, his son is dead. His favorite son is dead. He's no more, and he's weeping. Then the famine comes. So what do we got to do? We got to go to Egypt. We got to go to the land of death. They got food there because Joseph is sent down there. And there, when he gets there, he's sold to Potiphar, who's the king of the guards, the head of the police chief. And so there he is. He's in his household, and he's doing good things. But then Potiphar's wife sees this young, handsome man, wants him. He says no. So she accuses him of falsehoods. Someone accused of falsehood, sent to prison, right? Heard that one before? It comes up again, right? So here we have this story. Now he's in prison. And he meets two people. And one's a cupbearer to the king. And his job was to drink before the king did to make sure it was good. My brother does this. Whenever we go out to a bar, I'll get my famous whiskey drink, whatever it is, you know, spruced up with blueberries and all this. And it'll slide across the table. He'll take it and goes, I don't like it. Get your mouth off my drink, right? He does it all the time, Jeff. Anyway. He's the cupbearer to the king, and also in prison is someone else who has displeased Pharaoh. He's the baker. So what do we have? We have the cupbearer, the one who brings the wine. We have the baker, the one that brings the bread, right? Are we catching up, friend? You see why we got our Jewish friends? Mr. Steinmetz knew what he was talking about. Ed Steinmetz was a rapper. He could rap on a, this is big back in 85. This Jewish guy could, the best rap. So today we have the bread and we have the cup. See, we're not there yet. Still a few dots connect. But they have dreams and he interprets them. One of them is not going to make it. The cupbearer will. The baker will not. Like Jesus on the cross, one will make it on the side of him, right? One makes it to paradise and the other doesn't, right? You see what we're learning here? God's not surprising us. How are we doing so far? Good? Got two more minutes to finish this up. Pharaoh has a dream. There's seven fat cows coming out of the Nile, and then they're swallowed up by seven skinny cows. What does this mean? This is another Donny Osmond song. We could do that one. Whatever. And have you seen that Joseph and the Technicolor Dream Coat? There's an Elvis guy who sings this song. Well, there were seven skinny cows and they were, oh. You ever seen that one? Oh. And everybody goes, shoop, ba wop, ba wop, ba. You gotta get out and see these things. So there's seven skinny cows and seven fat cows, and the seven skinny cows are even called ugly, and they eat the other cows. And what does this mean? What does this mean, Joseph? And Joseph said, the Lord will tell me. And the Lord tells him there's going to be 7 years of good harvest, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And what you need to do is you need to plan for it. You need to save for it. And so they save for it. And up there, Jacob and his boys are getting hungry. And so Jacob says, go down there. Leaves Benjamin behind. So they go down there. They get the grain. Joseph knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. And so they take the grain, and he puts the money back, and they get back to Jacob. They got all their grain, and they got all this money, and they're afraid because they can't believe. It's like they stole, right? Do you think Jacob believes him? These guys are murderers. They are adulterers. They were liars. He sends down there. He's never going to believe what they say. Joseph told him before they left, make sure if you ever come back, if you ever get hungry again, you better bring that brother. I want to see him. They get hungry. They say, we can't go back, Father, because they want to see Benjamin. Jacob says, I can't do it. Jacob says, you ready for it? I can't send the son of my right hand. I can't do it. Reuben says, I'll give you my two kids, which you can kill if we don't bring them back. Oh, how's that one work? No, thanks. Judah says, I'll die. in his place. Where's the royal line come from? It comes from Judah, the one who sleeps with his daughter-in-law, right? The one who's so messed up, but when push comes to shove, when he really needs him, Judah steps up, doesn't he? Jacob says, I can't send the son of my right hand to die. I can't do it. But he has to do it. If he doesn't go down, they die. Here's my point. I'm going to end up with this one. I got about 7 more pages, but here's the story, friends. We look at the story of Jesus and the cross and what he had to do. How can we live? He says, you have to die. John 12, verse 24, we say it at the funerals. I've said it at graveside too many times, is if a single grain of wheat, it won't live unless it falls into the ground and dies, and then it becomes fruitful, right? That's when it lives. And we sit graveside and we weep and we hear these words and they fall short, don't they? But that's what happens. We have to go into Egypt. Where does Jesus go when he's a little baby? Where nobody will look for him? Who goes to Egypt to look for anybody? That's not the place. They go into Egypt and God calls his son out of the land of death and into life. Whoever loves this life will lose it, and whoever hates his life will have it forevermore. Right, Melinda? That's what he says. So the Jewish guy in school knew what he was talking about, but did he know the rest of the story? Did he get to hear that? I got to hear their story, and it's my story, and it's your story, and here's where we end. Jesus comes. He goes to death. He walks out. He says, if you take the grain and you take the cup today, you're going to live forever. Amen to that?